This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our Sex Podcast Collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are live. It's Friday the 13th. I hope all of you are being safe, getting your $13 tattoos, and doing whatever you're doing. The moon is still pretty full, so things could go awry. I'm really excited about our guest because, listen, I love talking to people. I love meeting people. But to me, what we're going to talk about today is really crucial. It's not just about this person. It's not just about what they're doing. It's really is going to affect all of us. We are seeing the terms of service of all the social media sites being updated and then updated and then updated again. People see their Instagram taken down for literally no reason. Sex workers are being targeted, as well as sex educators, because when we create media, whether it's written or it's visual, and it has to do with sex education, we get lumped in with, oh my God, that's profanity, it's obscenity, it's dangerous, we're kicking you off, which is really problematic because lots of people get caught in that net. Let me tell you who's here. Amp Summers is a blogger, sex worker, activist, and producer of What's the Safe Word, where he, along with guests of all abilities, backgrounds, experiences, and kinky lifestyles, destigmatize topics on sex and other LGBTQ plus issues. In addition to working as a full-time designer of kinky goods, Amp represents the Mr. S leather brand and is the current title holder for Mr. Friendly. Welcome to the show, Amp.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Okay, so you have this show, which is like, you have this great show called What's the Safe Word? And I would love to say it's of you naked and or fucking, because if you guys saw the pictures on my social media, you know that this is like a hunky gay guy. And a puppy. Also a puppy. So that's like two dings on my list. Maybe not your list, guys. You know, you do you. But actually, most of the show features just talking and then some bad puns.
How dare you?
Funny pop-ups, an interstitial. Sometimes they even beep curse words out, which is funny and strange. And overall, like, they're pretty goofy. It's mostly Amp, and then he has guests on, and often one of the guests is his daddy and handler, who they call Grumpy Daddy or Mr. Christopher. And the two of them have this really funny dynamic. And so it's more like a talk show than anything else. They really cover a lot of stuff, too. There's stuff on relationships, the intersection of kink and relationships, bondage, sex and disability. There's something on tickling. There's something on negotiation, which I thought was really helpful. Erotic humiliation, enemas. There were a few props in that one, but again, nothing sexual, people. And I'm saying all this because Amp is part of a group of makers on YouTube who are suing them for censorship and discrimination. Let's talk about first the show and how great it is and how long you've been doing it and how you have like hundreds of thousands of followers.
Oh, Well, thank you, first and foremost, for all those accolades and okay. kind words, minus the attacking me for my puns, which are never terrible, but are always intended.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just kidding.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, we've done What's a Safe Word? I think just turned 6 this year. It started as a very small blog with myself and my friend Bolt, who we are still friends. People think that like something's happened, but I've just moved to a different city and, you know, creating content weekly is very difficult. But it started as, you know, representation because we didn't see any kinky gay people on YouTube. And we certainly didn't get that kind of, you know, education, sex education, kink related content anywhere in our lives. So that's kind of how it started, which I think that's where a lot of creators and educators start, is they don't see representation of themselves, or they don't see the education that they want or they needed, because most of our episodes, while we try to be very topical and we try to make it accessible for all identities and genders and how people, you know, identify in their lives, but it's definitely from a very gay perspective whenever
it's
we
gay,
talk about
gay,
like
gay.
Personal.
It's yeah, gay, it's gay, super gay, 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 gay. Yeah, in the best ways, right? In the best ways.
Yeah, but we get comments from women all the time. They're like, "Oh my God, this helped my boyfriend so much for this pegging," you know. And so right. we know that lots of straight people are watching it too and appreciate it. In fact, our demographic this last couple of years, which skewed heavily men mm-hmm. and the male audience, now is 50-50 on men and women. And there's unfortunately is no like non-binary orientations
categories.
On YouTube
right.
itself, which is. Right. One of many issues that YouTube has.
Well, right. Well, the other thing that strikes me is that, you know, we have this sex education crisis mm-hmm. in America where most people are given abstinence only or what I call abstinence emphasized, which is basically mm-hmm. abstinence only with a little like, oh, you can use some birth control dressed up in it. But yeah. the thing we know universally is even when people have comprehensive sex education, it often does not include queer people, and it for sure does not include kink.
Absolutely. And in fact, generally, or not generally, but there are actual states that, and I'm sure you know, attack queer people and say, mm-hmm. you know, very, very, very fallacious things that, you know, oh, if you have queer gay sex, you're going to get HIV, or, you know, just they jump and they make these leaps and bounds to scare people and to scare teens out of even having sex. Which, I mean, you know, but it's just, it's fascinating that we still have, even with actual research done showing, you know, abstinence only does not help, it actually hurts, we still, there's so much funding to it. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we started blogging and making funny videos, because we wanted to make things not only accessible, but talk to queer people with a queer perspective. Because
right.
a lot of, like you said, lots of schools don't even give normal sex education, and they definitely don't do queer specific topics. Like, and, I didn't get no cleaning out videos, you know, in high school.
Right, right. Well, and also definitely around kink, I feel like, and queer issues too, but, you know, if you like Google how to have anal sex, like you are not coming up with a tutorial. You're getting porn. And especially if you're looking for just basic information on kink and you like fly over to, you know, say kink.com, that's not an introduction. That's not,
yeah.
That is not like starting from square one. Those are professionals doing super hot things with consent, but they have a lot of experience and they have a lot of skill, and they escalate to intensity pretty quickly. So again, if we're saying kids don't learn porn, don't learn your sex lives from porn, don't learn kink from kinky porn.
Yeah. Well, because, and being that I've worked for kink a number of times, too many to count.
Haven't we all?
Wait, have you? I didn't actually know. Have you worked with kink?
No,
sorry, not
but
to interview
everyone
you.
I know has. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah, everyone's on the show has, like, you know, yeah.
But yeah, that's, you don't see the hour-long negotiations that happen before that scene, and you certainly don't mm-hmm. see the breaks that happen. And mm-hmm. so, teens will find this content and they think that that's just how sex works. And it's just, it's terrible. But that's another thing, is like porn literacy is something that I think should be way more emphasized for teens and, you know, age appropriate sex ed. But That is.
I feel like there was like one article about it this year, and it was like, kids keep asking about this and we don't know how to talk about it. Help us. I don't know where that article was, but I was like, really, people? We're gonna start this discussion at the end of 2019. Really?
Yep. Oh. And there actually is a lot of studies out there as far as how porn affects us and that kids and teens are finding it, even if we don't think they all are.
Right. They've all seen it by 14 or something. They've all seen it.
80%, I think, is the statistic, have seen it by the age of 14, whether they meant to or not. Because like you said, you Google something and it pops up, both metaphorically and physically sometimes.
Right, exactly. And so I guess what I'm saying is like this is entertaining, absolutely, and this is your livelihood, but it also is a public service. Oh. You're teaching people things.
Well, I am a public service in a lot of ways. Kidding.
You live to serve. You live to serve, Amp, I guess. Exactly. You do, don't you? Except maybe when you're a puppy, because puppies, well, my dogs live to serve me when they feel like it.
Oh, I'm very much the, if you throw something and tell me to fetch, I just look at you and I'm like, you have legs.
Yeah, that's my kind of puppy. They're like, I don't follow the human rules. I can just be distracted and do whatever I want.
But I'll make sure you feel cuddly and happy whenever I'm around. So, you know, that.
Yes. We could do a whole show just on. Have we done a show on puppy play or animal play? We got to go back to the archives for that. We should do another show just on puppy play because we're like casually mentioning it and someone out there is like, what are you talking about? So I just want to clarify for folks who might not know, puppy play is a subgenre of BDSM or of kink where people have a power dynamic where someone plays an animal and someone plays their handler, their groomer, their rider. And so people are most often puppies, ponies, cats. I'm thinking back now to your Family Feud episode. Bears.
Bears was the other? Fox. Which a lot fox. Of people got upset about because they thought that that was part of the dogs. But fox is actually its own little subcategory. So
fox
it was very different.
Oh, no. Correct. Fox is not a dog.
Well, I think it falls under canine in some ways, but it is like lupine in other. It depends on the category, but there was enough numbers in our, like we did an episode where we surveyed 1,200 people and fox is one of those.
I was
really,
one of those 1,200
really
people. I was one of those 1,200 people. You. So I was like looking for my answers and if they made it like in, because not every answer made it because there were so many people, 1,200.
1,200.
Okay, A-Rod is saying that we have to go to break. So now in this case, we have to listen to A-Rod. Not always, but in this case, A-Rod rules. So let's take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about all the drama around LGBTQIA makers on YouTube, what's going on that platform, which mirrors what's going on a lot of other platforms. So stay with us. Hi, everyone. It's the holiday season, and there is so much going on at the Pleasure Chest. You should probably get a pen and take notes. Number one, holiday kits are now in stock, and they start at just $25. They come in beautifully wrapped gift boxes, so everything is done for you. Number two, the Snow Job Sale. 10% off all orders over $200 through January 1st. All orders over $75 always receive free shipping. This is online only. Number three, pleasure checks are back. Spend $100 and receive a pleasure check gift voucher for $15. Spend $150 and get one for $25. These are available in-store only through December 31st, and they are redeemable during any future store visit through March 31st, 2020. Can't be combined with any other offers or discounts. Number four, it's also time for 12 days of giveaways. The Pleasure Chest is ready to stock your stuffings with the latest and greatest new toys and a few classics. From December 14th to the 26th, check Pleasure Chest's social media for a chance to win. So make sure you follow them. Number five,
Merchandise for a good cause. Pleasure Chest has limited edition enamel pins, naughty and nostalgic vintage hotel key tags, and more, and 100% of the proceeds go to Secus Sex Ed for Social Change. And finally, free shipping from 10th to the 19th, which is the last day to order to get it by Christmas. Go to pleasurechest.com for these amazing specials. You may know me for creating various forms of media centered around sexuality, gender, relationships, feminism, and pop culture. I'm ready to take a big risk and do something completely different, and I hope you might join me. I'm working on a family memoir focused on my own coming-of-age story woven in with my father's. It's a story about growing up, multi-generational queer experience and history, love, loss, and the meaning of home. I started it and I hope to have it completed by the end of 2019. This isn't just a new book, though. It is way outside my comfort zone, and I've been wanting to write it for years. But I've been kind of terrified to share this personal story with the public. I mean, I'm comfortable telling you about my love of butt plugs, but it feels way scarier to tell you about my family, my innermost thoughts, my mental health, and one of the most significant events in my life, the death of my father. If you want to support me and my writing, you can go to patreon.com/TristanTaramino. Thanks.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com. You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, I'm glad you don't listen live because we just had a little technical issue. But for those of you listening live, hey, thanks for hanging in there. Speaking of Patreon, which you just heard me talk about, this holiday season, I'm feeling extra generous. And so I made this offer on my social media, but just in case you didn't see it, if you are already a patron of mine, or if you become a patron of mine this month, you're going to get a holiday gift from me, no matter what level you do it at. Like, I'm that nice. And I'm also that appreciative of all my fucking patrons. So all you have to do is email me, Tristan@puckerup.com, with your mailing address, which holiday or holidays you celebrate, so I can gear the card towards that. And then if you want sweets, like something chocolate, if you want a sex toy, and then if you want to specify what kind, what category of sex toy, or if you want miniature art or stickers. And I will send it to you. Isn't that cool? Yeah. So get on that. You have like only 2 more weeks to do it. And I've just set up a whole lot of work for myself. But that's okay. I'm going to work on the weekends because I love you, patrons.
Would you say you like rapping?
I love rapping. I love rapping. When people make fun of rich people for having a gift wrapping room, the thing is, it does take up a lot of space. And so it's like, I need to either clear my whole desk off or like clear my whole dining room table off in order to wrap properly. Okay.
That is impressive.
Amp Summers is my guest. And Amp, I want to go into what's going on YouTube. But first, I want to do some of the 101 basics of if people aren't familiar with YouTube, how that universe works as a creator, right?
Sure.
So can we go through some basics of like, how do you make money? How do people find you? This is without what's going on, right?
Yeah. So YouTube, pretty much the way that money is made on YouTube is through AdSense and Google AdSense. So you get put, so like you have ads during your shows and that helps to pay the bills and keep the lights on. YouTube has ads that roll before content, sometimes in the middle, sometimes afterwards. And people that have at least 1,000 subscribers and like 4,000, I think, watch hours within a certain amount of time can be approved to be part of the partner program. And that's kind of a newer thing. Back in the day, they kind of just gave partner program access to just about anyone who had a channel, so long as you posted videos and you could put ads on things. Mm-hmm. And so when we started, you know, most people don't start thinking, you know, I'm going to get ads and money right away. I think we didn't even make money for a good 2-3 years, and we're around 6 years now. And we made some pretty good money at one point, but, and that's the problem and why the lawsuit is happening, there's a lot of inconsistencies now, because as companies get large and grow, you know, bugs and problems happen and policies get updated. But we'll get into that. Did that answer your at least beginner entry level, how you make money?
Yeah. And so is it like Google in that it's supposed to be a new, like if I go to YouTube and just put in BDSM, it's supposed to be like a neutral search engine and I'm going to get just all these videos and then channels about BDSM?
That's a great question. And the answer that I have is probably not going to like encompass the entire thing, but pretty much it used to be that way, where you could search something and you would see the best possible results and it would all be relevant to what you're looking for. But now, because of, you know, things like Sesta Fosta and the way that websites are now being affected by sex-related content, if you were to search for something that the platform doesn't like or doesn't think is advertiser-friendly, you do get some weird results sometimes. So, like, there was a point in time where you searched for our content specifically and you'd use our names and you would get some weird results with some really, really strange thumbnails, and like pixelated stuff would show up. That doesn't happen for, you know, the large creators that YouTube loves. So there is some weird stuff going on behind the scenes, but you should be able to go on the site and just, you know, type bondage tutorial and get, you know, a well-researched, educated person doing a bondage tutorial, but that's not always the case. And I say not always because the way that this platform works, the algorithm, which is a word that gets used a lot, it's this machine learning that happens, is constantly learning and changing and kind of got out of control more recently within the last couple of years. And that's why there's a big issue.
Okay. So one of the elements that you're claiming in the lawsuit is that you and other makers have been demonetized.
Yeah.
What is so how do they do that? If you have a certain number of followers and if you've qualified already, how do you unqualify?
Sure. So, and we're still qualified as part of the partner program, but now there was a point in time when a large creator, I believe it was PewDiePie back in like 2015, was doing some, making some content that made advertisers real angry because it was, I think it was anti-Semitic. There were jokes that were real inappropriate, but you had like different advertisers like Coca-Cola in front of that and they didn't want that to happen. So the policies got changed and then you started seeing these little yellow check marks. It was never, you didn't know what it meant. It wasn't clear what was happening. But then all of a sudden creators saw, you know, revenue dropping anywhere from 20% to 80% for some people and no one knew why. And that was because they were getting demonetized, which is pretty much the platform's machine learning saying your content is not safe for our advertisers and we care more about our advertisers than the creators who pretty much built this platform and made us successful. And so there was a lot of discourse there because when you're demonetized, you're pretty much making nothing. But even then, it's limited to or no ads. You don't know where you fall in that when you get demonetized sometimes.
Okay, another issue in this case is age restriction. Explain that to me.
Sure. So demonetization is kind of like a yellow card in sports. You know, you get like a penalty, you get put in timeout maybe for a bit. Age restriction would be like a red card, like full stop. You know, we're not going to promote this. We're not going to share it. We're going to make sure that it's suppressed in a lot of different ways. And so people under the age of 18 can't watch it. And then your own subscribers sometimes don't get notifications and don't see the videos that you're posting.
People who've opted in, like specifically, don't see it.
Yeah. So you might see it in your sub box, but like a lot of, a huge chunk of your video views comes from different things on the platform, like recommendations or showing up on the home screen for people that subscribe to you, you should show up there frequently. But you see that this restrictions that go into place actually tamper with a lot of the views that you should be getting normally that you're not now because YouTube has deemed you inappropriate for whatever reason. But, and here's the problem, the people that are reviewing these videos and the algorithm that's working don't always work together and don't always have the same opinion on videos. So we might do a video on like, say, condoms, which shows nothing sexual, and just literally shows a condom and might provide like some quick, you know, this is how you put a condom on a banana or, you know, joke about things. And that can be age restricted. So our condom video, which is one video that I to this day am so upset about, got age restricted, and I still don't know why, because I've seen condom videos that aren't age restricted. Maybe it's because we're gay and we're talking about condoms. There's no transparency there. But I know that, you know, it's just not doing well because it's now restricted in a bunch of ways.
But is it, because this happens on these other platforms, is it like the person who looked at your stuff thought to themselves, this is fine, or this freaks me out, and then they like check a box, and that's all. Like, it doesn't go through several people, you know, no, it's just like one person's call.
It's super unclear. Sometimes it seems like one person, and sometimes I won't even post the video yet. Like, it's kind of, it's private, but I'm waiting for a review to happen, and it'll have like 12 views out of nowhere. So it gets circulated. I think that multiple people now watch our stuff, but I honestly don't know because it's not clear.
They won't be transparent about the policy.
Yeah. And that's the biggest issue, because I'll have a video posted ahead of time, I'll ask for a review because the algorithm's like, ooh, there's words there that are bad. A manual review will happen. An actual person will watch it, and then I'll see a green check mark. And, you know, sometimes their notes will say, oh, well, you said it was really sexual, but actually this is fine. And then when this happens all the time, a few days later, it'll get age restricted out of nowhere. So like, there's no communication that seems to be happening. Or if there is communication, there's miscommunications, because no one seems to know how the policies work. Their own workers don't even understand the guidelines sometimes. So you can imagine how confused creators get.
And then I know all about shadow banning on social media platforms. This is something that happens to people I know all the time, and has happened to me, which is that you're on the platform and you're happily posting your stuff, and actually in reality, no one's seeing it because they've marked you in some way so that you're invisible from people's feeds. And they've decided that because you have, quote, adult content, or because you use the word ass too much, in my case, probably. or, you know, I also use the word porn, you know, the written word porn. But you can be shadow banned on YouTube.
Yeah. So, and case in point, this was our most recent update to the lawsuit. Around Halloween, we did a video that was like, sexy costumes from wish.com, like super fun, super funny. And it did terrible. Like, Wish videos usually get hundreds of thousands of views, and it got maybe 10,000 in the first day, which is just like 80% down in views. And we found out it's because it was rated like triple X by the website. Meanwhile, the same day, a bunch of, you know, women, some blonde girls were posting sexy Wish costumes, and they were getting tons of views. They had full advertising. Meanwhile, we're age restricted or restricted in some way. And I know that we're not getting any views because I can see our share rate, which is usually like around 60%-ish, is like recommended to people, was down to a 3%, which is just crazy. Out of nowhere, for no reason, no source of transparency. And the response that I got when I asked for help was, well, you need to make sure your content is you know, matching your niche audience, which is just so condescending. Because like,
right, and that sounds like a pat answer. That doesn't even sound like a real fucking answer.
Well, unfortunately, that's every answer you get whenever you try to talk to the help team. It's a real person, but they're always canned responses.
Right, right. Okay, we got to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk about fighting the good fight. This is going to court, people, and the importance of it, because it is going to affect anyone who's queer identified and anyone who is marginalized in some way around sex and gender, because when we make media, it gets censored. So stay with us.
Hey everyone, it's Tristan, and it's time to listen up because we're going to talk about one of my very favorite subjects, porn. We all know that it's not hard to find porn on the internet, but finding porn that you like, that's a different story. Sometimes you can spend more time looking for a scene that you like than you actually spend watching it. And it can feel like a never-ending black hole of cliches, bad scripts, and plastic leather sofas. If you want to try something new with relatable storylines, realistic situations of very hot sex, and cinematic quality, then you need to check out the new LustCinema.com. Founded by Erica Lust, Lust Cinema is her new U.S. porn studio for lovers of cinema and sex. On Less Cinema, you'll find original series and feature films shot by Erica herself and other U.S.-based female directors, as well as a huge catalog of content from other adult filmmakers. If you already know Erica Lust, then you know that she makes beautiful cinematic porn on X Confessions. So expect nothing less on her new Lust Cinema. You'll experience the whole feeling of sex, the passion and the pleasure. And on Lust Cinema, everyone's pleasure is equally important. Hear, hear to that. Erica wants Sex Out Loud listeners to experience her world of lust, so she's giving you a one-month membership for just $5. Visit www.lustcinema.com/Tristan to get your $5 month and start streaming now. That's lustcinema.com/Tristan. Lust Cinema. Great porn, better sex.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. What do you think? Is there discrimination going on against queer makers on YouTube? I want to know what you think. You can call and leave me a message anytime you want at 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. I'm back with Amp Summers, who is the host of the YouTube web series, What's the Safe Word? And it's a great informational and also funny thing about kink, about gay guys, gay people, gender, sexuality. It's just a fun show. And then there's like a huge Family Feud episode, which is like, do not miss. Just do not miss. I'm just saying, awesome. If you're a fan of Family Feud, it's really funny.
Thank you, Justin.
Okay. So tell me what you can about the lawsuit. Like what specific harm are you all claiming? And how many plaintiffs are there now?
So we started out with 8 people. It was like 5 different channels. And I believe now we're around 12 to 15. And I honestly couldn't tell you the exact number because I have not met all of them in person. But we're right around 12 people. And it includes all genders, all different backgrounds. We have some people that work on SNL. We have people that make movies. We have people that do like news shows. We have people that like me that do kind of like funny, weird content. We have people that do, you know, education at different levels and for different ages. So it's a lot of different personalities and perspectives. So it's not just like we didn't do our homework here. We know exactly how it's affecting people and why. And that's generally because we're talking about topics that are queer or talking about gender or sex in some way that the platform doesn't think is advertiser friendly. And so we're being hit with all these blockades and restrictions. But the biggest issues are we don't see these restrictions on creators that the platform prefers, that the platform puts money into, and that the platform has, like, you know, sat down and probably talked about and signed some sort of paperwork with these creators, allegedly. But like a lot of the stuff in the lawsuit that I can specifically talk about and attest to is like, are you familiar with a creator named James Charles?
No.
And if not, that's fine. Magnificent, like, gay guy who does really cool makeup, and I have no problem with James Charles. I think he is fascinating and he's wonderful at what he does, but you know, he's doing some videos where he goes to Coachella and he's wearing these sexy outfits, and like you can see his ass fully out in some chaps, you can see his pubes from the front, and there's like 12 ad breaks in this video while he's doing this sexy try-on haul Coachella video. But then, like, the second we even pull out a sex toy that doesn't even look like a penis, or we say something like sex toy, we get restricted. So our ads are being taken away. And when you present this kind of double standard to the platform, which it's full of, you're met with, well, you know, here's the guidelines. You should just follow them, which is so unhelpful.
Also, the guidelines are vague, right? I mean, they get to determine what's, quote, offensive, what's, quote, provocative, what's, quote, not advertiser friendly. Like, you know, okay, real talk. I you know, I don't run YouTube, but I could. So what if, like, when the advertisers sign up to be part of AdSense, mm-hmm. and they were like real tight-assed and just generally like not, didn't share progressive politics, why can't they just sort of opt out of being on certain sites? Like, why are they making the blanket decision? You know what I mean? I'm saying for the advertiser's point of view, because mm-hmm. like there's plenty of advertisers who would want to advertise on your show, but it doesn't even seem like the advertisers have the choice.
Well, so that's the other thing is like, we know, and I have screenshots of like condom ads and alcohol ads, and I've been told there's lube ads, and I know for a fact that there's like Lilo products, so mm-hmm, clitoral mm-hmm. Like vibrators and, yep. and whatnot, that are playing in front of like kids' content. So these advertisers exist and they're being played in front of audiences that shouldn't be seeing it to begin with. But at the same time, creators like me who's trying to make educational content on these topics around like condoms or even masturbators and clitoral stimulators, we're getting restricted. So they have no problem taking the money from advertisers and putting it in front of content it shouldn't. When they, I mean, why not put those ads in front of content like ours that it is sex education?
Right,
that
it's actually
the most
mind
blowing
like
double standard.
Yeah.
But instead, we get like last year or the year before, we had anti-LGBT religious ads that were specifically being targeted on top of content like ours. We know that advertisers have the power to target specific demographics. Unfortunately, YouTube allows people to do that in the negative way, where they're putting religious ads that are saying, you know, gay people aren't okay in front of LGBT content. Or more recently, I'm told there's anti-trans ads playing for people who are trans on just different kinds of family-friendly channels. So it's terrible. And so this is the problem, is the double standards that exist not only for the creators, but that when there's a dollar sign attached, advertisers are allowed to get away with.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see where there's just so... and the problem with the transparency and the clear guidelines, like, for instance, Tristan, if you were, let's say, like an English teacher and you gave someone an F on an assignment, would you say, hey, student, you got an F and you're doing terrible because, well, it might have been your sentence structure, or it could have been, you know, the number of sentences you, or, you know, it could have been you didn't use the right, you know, you had some run-on sentences, but also correct.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, or maybe you just went on a tangent, or the topic got really off the rail. Like, do you see how that's not helpful, telling someone that it could have been five different things in a list of things that, you know, are super vague?
Mm.
Whereas creators like me just want to follow the rules. Just tell me why. Tell me what's wrong.
Yeah. Well, and also the conflation of LGBTQ plus content with sex,
mm-hmm.
meaning, and this happened on Amazon years ago. My books were shadow banned on Amazon and other people who wrote sex ed books. And it really fell to a lot of queer creators. There was a big uproar. So the conflation of queer content with sex is simply mm-hmm. homophobia and sex negativity. The idea like they go together and they always go together is... that's homophobia. And basically, this conflation of sex education and talking about sex with explicit sexual imagery is sex negativity, right? The other thing is, like, they're not even bothering to check, like you said. Is it condoms and we're talking about condoms, or is it like condoms and you see 100 hard dicks in 1 minute?
Yeah. Yeah, and so I want to be clear, like, our content does get very sex positive and like sex centered.
Oh, sure.
If it was a matter of like talking too much about sex, great. Tell me that that's the problem. But like when I'm doing a fun Family Feud video, if that got restricted and I don't know why, that's unhelpful. But a lot of the creators in our lawsuit are not sex specific topic kind of people. They're talking about gender or identities or just making films that feature, you know, gay, queer people. And
this
even
is where
then,
queer people are targeted, right? Mm-hmm, is that if they're queer, they must be talking about sex, or they must be, quote, not advertiser friendly. Who are these advertisers? Like, then let them check a box and say, I'm anti-gay. Great. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be the majority. It's definitely not going to be like lube and sex toys.
Yeah. But we also know that those ads exist. They're just pretending like they don't so that they don't have to pay creators. I truthfully don't know why that double standard exists on the platform, but it's kind of terrible.
And since you filed and then you amended the filing, I'm hearing rumblings that there might have been retaliation by YouTube against some of the plaintiffs in the case. Is that right?
Yeah. So, and allegedly, because I can't look at every, I can't look at everyone's analytics here, and I'm only speaking strictly from my perspective, but you know, we saw our recommendations and our numbers were going down and down weeks after we announced and did a video about how we were suing, you know, YouTube and Google. And there was no real reason why some of these videos were not being pushed to our subscribers. But again, that one Halloween video I mentioned earlier, I saw tons and tons and tons of people that were posting the same exact kind of video, but they were showing, you know, some girls were showing like G-strings and their butts are hanging out. There was one video of, I think she's 15 years old and she did a sexy costume try on with her boyfriend. Geez.
Right.
A 16-year-old, like an actual kid, and had ads all over the place. But we had, not only did we not have ads, but we weren't getting shared. Like the numbers were terrible. And it just, you can see this cascade of numbers going down and down and down and down and down, down out of nowhere. And the only thing you could, I mean, the only thing that changed for our content, how we were creating it, allegedly, was that we, you know, did that lawsuit and we just, we were so confused. Our analytics weren't good, you know, and I'm a very analytics driven person. I like to look at analytics and see how things do. So when I start to see patterns or outliers and things, I ask why, and we're met with very unhelpful help people at YouTube. They should truly just be called unhelpful people.
And it, you know, it might be nice to just like pick up your enema equipment and go, but the truth is this is the platform. This is the platform. And they kind of have a monopoly. I mean, maybe there's ways in which, you know, Google owns it and saying that it's not a monopoly. But that's kind of, that is where everyone goes to watch videos and web series and TV and movies and everything. So if you can't be there, it's like, how could people find you?
Yeah, well, it's owned by the largest search engine optimization website. So, and we get this comment so much from people that don't like that we're, you know, even doing the lawsuit. Like, go somewhere else if you're not happy. Well, where? You go, well, where? And they're like, go to Pornhub. And I'm like, okay, I get where you're coming from, but our content's not going to, it's not, people aren't going to Pornhub to specifically watch, you know, comedy videos that are kind of gay or queer education. They're going there generally to look at porn. And
also, I hate Pornhub and I boycott Pornhub. And so if you were like, we're going to be on Pornhub, then I'm like, not going to go see your shit.
Right. Yeah. Because, and then there's an ethics question with Pornhub and how they treat certain creators that I've heard. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to, but like, there's no other place. And also, calling Pornhub out to like go over there, then you're starting to call all queer content sexual again.
Again, right.
That undertone.
We'll welcome you with open arms at our porn platform, but you are not welcome at our every other subject and every other straight person in the world platform.
Yeah. And then every other platform you have to like pay to host stuff like Vimeo and other sites.
Well, so Vimeo really just took down, you know, Vimeo used to be safe spot for porn.
Oh, do we hate Vimeo now? Oh, no.
And yeah, there's some feminist porn directors, notably this Australian, why am I blanking on her name? Ms. Naughty. Ms. Naughty, who's been in business and runs her own websites for like 10 years. She put all her stuff on Vimeo and then one day without warning, without a terms of service change, nothing, they just shut it down. And that's like where all her income, that's where all her videos are hosted.
Oh,
yeah. So I don't know Vimeo is safe anymore. I don't know that.
And that's the other thing is the terms of service, they change. And what are you going to do? Not accept it and not put your stuff on the platform you've been using for years? Like, you don't have a say and you're at the whims of terms of service that change based on what the advertisers want or what the company wants behind the scenes. And you're never given a clear, you know, this is what's good, this is what's bad. And then when you're told something is bad, you see large creators on a platform posting what should be bad, but being celebrated and shared. And that's not just YouTube. That's tons of websites, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We're going to go to break because I want to tackle a whole other piece, but this seems like a good natural break. Listen to these commercials from my great sponsors, including the Pleasure Chest. Hi, Pleasure Chest. Their ad is so long this month because they have so many different specials and so many different giveaways. And they have like the 12 days of Christmas, 12 days of Christmas or the 12 days of maybe holidays, non-denominational. starts tomorrow. And basically you follow them on their Instagram and you comment on their posts and you're entered to win a different toy every day for 12 days. So you should definitely do that. Because also if you win something, there's no rule against you gifting that to someone and taking all the glory. No rule that you can't do that. It's not regifting. You won it and then you gifted it. So let's do that this month. And when we come back from the commercial, more with AMP, all about YouTube. Hi, everyone. It's the holiday season, and there is so much going on at the Pleasure Chest. You should probably get a pen and take notes. Number one, holiday kits are now in stock, and they start at just $25. They come in beautifully wrapped gift boxes, so everything is done for you. Number two, the Snow Job Sale. 10% off all orders over $200 through January 1st. All orders over $75 always receive free shipping. This is online only. Number three, pleasure checks are back. Spend $100 and receive a pleasure check gift voucher for $15. Spend $150 and get one for $25. These are available in-store only through December 31st, and they are redeemable during any future store visit through March 31st, 2020. Can't be combined with any other offers or discounts. Number four, it's also time for 12 days of giveaways. The Pleasure Chest is ready to stock your stuffings with the latest and greatest new toys and a few classics. From December 14th to the 26th, check Pleasure Chest's social media for a chance to win. So make sure you follow them. Number five, merchandise for a good cause. Pleasure Chest has limited edition enamel pins, naughty and nostalgic vintage hotel key tags, and more. And 100% of the proceeds go to Secus Sex Ed for Social Change. And finally, free shipping from 10th to the 19th, which is the last day to order to get it by Christmas. Go to pleasurechest.com for these amazing specials.
Stimulating talk gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I'm talking to Amp Summers, who's a blogger, sex worker, activist, and the producer and star of What's the Safe Word, a really funny but also educational web series on YouTube. And we're talking all about this discrimination case that he and several other plaintiffs have filed. So there's an article in Rolling Stone, and your lawyer, Peter Obstler, or you're the head lawyer, I guess. There's going to be a whole team of lawyers. I've seen that on TV. One of the things that is really interesting that he brings up is he doesn't think that, like, there's malice involved necessarily, that YouTube has taken this action against LGBTQ creators. But it's a little more sinister and more about sort of media monopolies. So this is a quote from him. "I have strong suspicions that it is anti-competitive more than anything else, that it's an attempt to clear the platform of third party content so they can promote their own." So this notion that YouTube has its own channels and has the Red? Isn't that?
I think it's YouTube Originals now, but it was
Red. Old school Red. And also, obviously, you know, NBC uses YouTube and these huge media conglomerations use YouTube. And so do you think it could be a case where they want, like, they want the sort of big players. They want the big box stores of media. And they want to push out the sort of independent creators, which are almost always marginalized in some way.
Yeah. Well, and so that is one of the large complaints, not just from our lawsuit, but just from the community at large, is you go to the trending page or you go to recommended, and a lot of the time you're just getting like random celebrities or talk shows, like Late Night, Jimmy Kimmel. What other ones exist?
Ellen. There's a lot of Ellen.
There you go. Yeah, and then you see like, you know, critically acclaimed YouTuber Will Smith on.
Right.
No, but you see, and I have no problem with like mainstream media coming to YouTube, but it's when there's actual articles where, and I don't have the exact numbers, but it's like YouTube's helping these movie stars and giving them multiple figure salaries to start up their YouTube channels. I was not given any support when I started YouTube. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to pay out of pocket and just do it slowly. But they're giving these platforms to people and they're giving these recommendations, and it looks like they're just shelling money out to large media that they want on their platform. And I'd be fine with that, you know, if it was treated fairly and all content was equal in that. But we see that that's not the case when we see, you know, large YouTubers or celebrities given a pass at content that should be restricted or demonetized, but they're given a pass because there's clearly some sort of alleged organization or, you know, paperwork behind the scenes that is making sure that they're on recommended more. If you look at all the numbers and stats, I think like the top YouTube channels now, a good chunk of those are just late night and celebrity figures, where it used to be all YouTubers in the mm-hmm. past, mm-hmm. which is just fascinating.
Well, and you just think again, like they would want to monetize everyone across the board. Like if it's just about money, mm-hmm. but I feel like there's this like, it's not just about money, because then they would just be like, monetize everything, all, everything, anything. It's also this morality has like mixed in here with this supposed mm-hmm. like free marketplace, which it definitely isn't free.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of money to create content. So when you, I definitely think that there's something to what Peter says. I agree with him because he's our lawyer. But being on the platform for so long, it's changed a lot. It used to be, you know, cat videos and people like Jenna Marbles and PewDiePie and like Smosh. I swear these are people. I'm not just saying random expletives that come to mind. But it was actual people. It was creators. It was you. It was YouTube. Where now it feels like corporate tube or celebrity tube in a lot of ways.
But then how is it even going to... See, I feel like they're also trying to now get in the game like, oh, we could be Netflix. We could be Hulu. We could be Apple TV, you know, sure. Disney Plus. Guys who are trying to jump on that, right? And one of the great things about the streaming channels, except for Disney Plus, is that the content has gotten racier. It has pushed the envelope. It has dealt with more topics that a network like CBS wouldn't touch. But if they want to get in that game and they're going to basically kick all of you off in order to be the next kind of like Hulu. I mean, I think what makes YouTube is that you can't see anything like that on any mm-hmm. channel or any streaming network.
Yeah, it's raw content. And I mean that in the digital sense, not the sexual sense, but
yes, no, it's totally DIY. And there are these people who have gotten amazing followers. Like one of the people I watch makes cakes that look like other things.
Oh, I love those videos.
You know, like a cake that looks like a margarita or a cake that looks like a turkey. Shoe. Yeah, yeah. And she's like brilliant. And she literally started with, you know, her iPhone and a light and her kitchen.
Same.
Yeah. So I feel like I don't want to lose all of those creators who have like an entirely unique voice and who don't necessarily have access. Like the Food Network is not, for whatever reason, going to give her a show. I don't know why. I think it's really compelling and I watch it all the time. But then there's this opportunity for all these people to be like, okay, I'm going to create my own content that is like a little wacky and I'm going to find my people.
Yeah.
And if that goes away, then we're all just paying for the same exact streaming content. Like we're just paying for every one of these platforms, which is like back to paying for basic cable.
But the weird thing is like YouTube doesn't call itself a publishing content company like all these other Netflix, Hulu. I believe they still call themselves like an advertising company. Like advertising is what they're doing. That's how they're making money. But truthfully, they're publishing content. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, I'm no expert and that's why I have a lawyer. But like, they're playing by these rules that don't make sense because they're allowing people to publish content, but they're trying not to call themselves that, I believe. So it's just, it's a very odd Yeah, it's like, what are they trying to avoid, you know? But yeah, it's just when you start to just put money into corporations and putting those in the front lines, it loses so much personality. And that's why mm-hmm. people go to YouTube. That's why right. people watch creators. I don't care about, you know, a structure. I don't care as much about like structured television as much as I do it choosing to watch someone because I appreciate their content and I think they're a cool person and I, you know, align with them in some regard, whether it's making weird cakes or talking about sex education. And it's when, and that's one of the problems, it's when I'm not seeing the people I want to see that I'm trying to opt into seeing, that there is an issue. And we're seeing that a lot because we get comments every other day that's like, oh, I thought you guys had just stopped posting a few months ago.
Right. Because they're so relying on YouTube to show you results. And if they're not there, then they make these assumptions. Okay, we're out of time. But on that note of wanting to watch really cool creative content, you can watch What's the Safe Word? It's spelled WATTS, the safe word. .com. You can also go to YouTube and search What's the Safe Word, but as we know, you may get mixed results. Correct. On Twitter, AMP is at PupAMP, and What's the Safe Word is it? What's the Safe Word, but without an O at the end. So it's WRD. Yeah. Just want to let you know. Nope. On Instagram, Pup is at Pup_AMP and at What's the Safe Word with the O in it. And also What's the Safe Word on Facebook. Thank you so much for being on the show, AMP.
Thank you. And if I can, we Tell actually us. Started a podcast a few weeks ago, too, that is kind of a uncensored, just talking back and forth called What's Your Safe Word? Because we wanted to make sure it was easy to Google.
What's but, Your but Safe Word? You can, so you guys can listen to the podcast. Great. Great.
But thank you so much for having me on, Tristan. I had such a nice time.
Thanks to executive producer Karen Dana, senior producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, A-Rod, my engineer, everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern for another edition of the show. I'm going to have my guest sex therapist, Nazanin Moali, and we're going to answer your Ask Tristan questions. So if you've sent one in or recorded one, you better listen to next week's show. Until then, catch me on social media. Bye.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.